The first scripture reading for this evening is found in your Bibles in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's on page 1270, and we read 1 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke. It's on page 1130 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 23, beginning at verse 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel reading and the words of Jesus to the criminal. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is our text. Towards the end of the Gospel of John, the apostle made this remark concerning everything that Jesus did and said. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, for every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Particularly based on that comment, it's not surprising then that as you read each of the four Gospels regarding the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, they don't all include everything he did. Particularly when it comes to the words that he spoke on the cross. There's only one phrase that Jesus spoke on the cross that appears in more than one gospel. It's that mournful cry that he makes. It's recorded in both the Hebrew and English. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew and Mark only record one phrase that Jesus spoke, and that's it. All the other six are found either in Luke or in John, and they don't repeat any of those comments either. When you go to the Gospel of John, you get the words, "Behold your son," as he's speaking to his mother. "I thirst, and it is finished." Those words aren't found in any of the other Gospels. And when we go to the Gospel of Luke, the same thing is true. Luke probably had a reason for selecting the particular words of Jesus that he recorded. One of the aspects of Luke that you discover as you're reading through it is that he was particular in recording events in Jesus' life, where Jesus himself was reaching out to people that, the world didn't regard in a high fashion. For instance, Jews hated Samaritans. The region of Samaria, if a Jew was walking from southern Judea to northern Galilee, the quickest way to get there would be to walk through Samaria. Most Jews would walk an extra 30 miles just to avoid putting a foot on the ground of Samaria. There was no love lost between the two. But as an example of Luke's concern for those that were disregarded by the culture of his day, he's the only one who carries the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so it's not perhaps surprising that Luke records as the first word, which we discussed last week, Jesus' words of forgiveness to the people who had nailed him to the cross. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." One of those nailing him to the cross after the crucifixion is finished and after Jesus dies will actually confess that they killed the Son of God. The centurion standing at the foot of the cross. I would venture to say, if he did hear those words of Jesus, they were very important to him when he finally realized what had been done. As we move along in the account of Jesus' crucifixion, we also come across his words to a thief. Probably not an ordinary thief. You stole somebody's purse back in that day, you didn't get crucified. There was more to this criminal's life than the word thief on the cross communicates. He confesses on the cross, speaking to the other criminal, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." Let me say that again. "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." What does it mean to deserve crucifixion? Even though nowadays we adorn the front of our sanctuaries of the cross. It was devised to be one of the cruelest forms of torture ever invented by man. Of all the ways that a criminal could be executed, one way was exempted by Rome for its own citizens. No matter what you did, if you were a Roman citizen, you could be executed, you could be killed, but you couldn't be killed by crucifixion. So horrible it was. I don't fully understand, and probably won't until we reach heaven, what all this man had done. But to admit you deserved this kind of death is a profound admission. We're talking about the dregs of society, the type of person that just about everybody hates. People, when you walk by, you say, if they're experiencing trouble, yeah, you deserved it. But when this man turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Without hesitation, Jesus speaks words of comfort. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I've always considered this particular incident in scriptures the best illustration of the nature of the forgiveness that God has for us. This man had no time to, if you will, redeem himself. He had no time or opportunity to make up for all the wrongs that he did. He's in his dying moments. And yet, despite the fact that he was the worst of the worst by his own admission, in his dying moments, merely because he turns to Jesus with trust and hope, he ends up receiving the same glorious life that God promises to you and to me. The free gift of salvation is precisely that. Free. But our world has a hard time swallowing the idea that forgiveness can be so free. Even within religions that identify themselves as Christian, this kind of complete and absolute forgiveness is choked upon. And ways to get around it are often embedded into the doctrines of various church bodies. And some they say, well, you know, Jesus died to take away our original sin, but the sins you actually commit, them's you got to pay for yourself. They invent places in between heaven and earth where you have to spend a few years paying off your debts. In other religions, it's taught that, well, Christ died so that we're not going to be dead eternally. He took away the punishment of death. But when you're resurrected, you might get resurrected to hell. I don't know, I think I'd rather be dead myself. But that's what some church bodies teach. And then if you want to rise above hell, well, that's not due to Jesus. That's due to how well you live your life here on this earth. It just seems all too free. And the difficulties people have with the forgiveness of God aren't only found in the doctrines of some church bodies. Sometimes they're found in our own hearts. I'm going to have a hard time forgiving that person for what he did. or what she did? Ever hear somebody say that? Ever say it yourself? As if forgiveness is something that has to be earned and isn't the gift that God says it is. Make no mistake, while forgiveness is free to us, it's not cheap. The cost did have to be paid. And that's why when Jesus is uttering these words, he is nailed to a cross himself. No, he hasn't done anything wrong, but he does have to pay for what that thief did in his life and for what we have done in our lives. Our God is a just God. And if there is a price to be paid for sin, somebody has to pay it. The gospel we preach is not a cheap grace. It is free, but it cost the Son of God his life. Paul understood that well. In regards to sinners, I guess he thought he was even worse than that thief on the cross. In our first reading, he labels himself as the foremost of sinners. He was well trained in the scriptures. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, as he himself describes him. And yet, despite all of his biblical knowledge, when the true Son of God comes into this world, his only aim is to destroy him and anybody who follows him. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, egging people on. The book of Acts records how, as they were stoning Stephen, they took their robes and laid them at Saul's, later called Paul's, feet. He had letters in his hand to arrest Christians on his way to Damascus and to bring them back for trial and to have Christians put to death merely for being Christians. That's when he met Jesus and realized how horribly and utterly wrong he was. But God showed him patience and mercy and forgiveness. Not because someday he would earn it, but because Christ has already earned it for him by his death on the cross. We believe in free and complete forgiveness, even for the worst of sinners, even for those thieves on the cross. What God merely asks of us is that we believe it. There were, let us remember, two thieves on the cross. And I firmly suspect that one of them didn't make it to heaven. Not because Christ wouldn't offer the gift to him. Not because his sins weren't forgiven and paid for in the blood of Christ. But because he didn't want it. He didn't think it mattered. He didn't, as that other thief did, understand that the man dying next to him was dying for him. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Some people will be in heaven and some people will be in hell. But not because the Son of God didn't pay for their sins. And not because they failed to earn it, And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That wasn't just the promise of Jesus to one thief on the cross long ago. It's his promise to all who would receive him, to all who believe he's going to come again in his kingdom, to all who place their trust in him freely and without cost, is the gift of paradise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.